to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
And good morning, Columbia CSL, and all of you joining in today. I'm really grateful to be with you as we explore the joy of living and our monthly theme, which is play. Now, that word can be associated with many personal experiences and therefore perceptions and expectations of the way we and life need to be. So what pictures and feelings come up for you when you think of this word? Is it the working of an inner expansiveness and openness? Is it the action of living in a spontaneous fashion? Being guided in the present moment? Is it sheer fun, born of spontaneity and clear intention? Or perhaps the awakening of your childlike innocence and curiosity? You know, it's a wonderful thing to be aware of the shift to spring as a call to aliveness and renewal. Nature was the original spiritual text before all our wonderful wisdom teachings. Creativity and spontaneity energize new life, and play can result, freeing our mind, body, emotional energy up. So who among us wants to relax and enjoy our lives just that little bit more, lighten up and have fun? Not just on planned vacations, cruises, Mary Jane, or nights out with the tribe, so to speak. So in the context of our theme this month, we're suggesting the concept of play being vital to opening the mind and connecting it with the heart, supporting our connection with the divine. It really is a form of spiritual practice. So I'm going to begin today really with a personal story. You know how life tends to disrupt your flow sometimes, your expectation, even the logic of what is normally a predictable outcome, right? And so these kinds of stories can be told best, I think, when the energy of the experience is still fresh, but hindsight has kicked in a little, don't you find? So here's such a story. Now, this is laced in transparency to use an illustration of the challenge in removing my mask of seriousness. So about 2 months ago, I had this grand idea to create a class called Lighten Up. I mean, after all, I'd had almost 30 years of working in the field of play, humor. I was a professional clown. I see myself as a kind of a bridger of paradox. So I thought, oh, this will be easy. And I've done it in so many different iterations. So I've done 12-week classes. I've done retreats, but I've never done a 4-week, 1-hour-a-week class. So I just, you know, sat down at my computer, pulled up a lot of my material, no reason to reinvent the wheel, and started to create this class. Now, I'm going to fast forward a bit and let you know that I was also called after I finished this class to speak next Sunday in White Rock, where the Global CSL Sunday Talk title is A Spoonful of Humor is Medicine. Well, I thought, of course, I'm being called to do that, you know, because I'm like, I'm joy itself, right? And so now I'm going to go back to the class. So I was reminded once again that being playful and spontaneous, which I do, and I am aware I am, is just not the same thing. It's not the same thing than facilitating a process for others or within yourself of laying down our mask of seriousness And I don't mean temporarily, right? Because everyone can tell a good joke, you know, can have a playful moment, can do something spontaneous, which lifts our spirit and gives us what we need in the moment. I'm talking about lifting our mask of seriousness for the long term, which asks us to evoke the child from within for a just cause enough that the risk of becoming vulnerable and being seen would take a backseat. Well, I did not get my expectation. I actually was very stumped, and I kind of spiraled. And I thought after one after the other of registrants was leaving my course, right? Oh, my ego was having a good time with this, that I'd done something terribly wrong. I was misguided. I hadn't thought it through, you know? And so, of course, it's a great place to learn, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's a place to learn letting down, once again, the ego's grip, to lighten the way we walk in the world. What I do know is lightening up is seen as serious work. And in times when we most need this energy to rise within us and be around us, sometimes committing to play can be the most gratifying solution, but can be the most challenging of resistance. And just to drive this experience I'm sharing with you a little deeper, speaking of the resistance that comes up to block being playful in the middle of the seriousness of life, I was awake till 5 a.m. your time this morning, trying to figure out how to be light and playful. Now, do I need a brick to hit me over the head? Spirit had its way with me. What do I mean by that? It set me up to be sleepless in Canada so that I would be more vulnerable, more open, right? Have less filter. Ah, those moments when we realize we're trying too hard to create what already exists in life, which is infinite creative intelligence doing its work through us. So play is the exuberant expression of our being. It is at the heart of our creativity, our sexuality, and our most carefree moments of devotion. It helps us live with absurdity, with paradox, and with mystery. It feeds our joy and wonder. And it keeps our search for meaning down to earth. And most importantly, play is a bridge from grasping to release, from probability to possibility. Possibility. So I'm going to share another story that happened to me this week. I've had a great week, you know? Everything you can see, and most ministers will know this, we're always observing. There's a kind of a saying that says, be careful what you say or do, it may end up in my Sunday talk, right? So I had I did a radio show with Jenny Robertson from On Purpose Women, and it was called Stoking the Flames of Peace, at my choice for the title, based on our work here in the community for the Season for Nonviolence and because of what has recently erupted in Ukraine, and not just Ukraine. As Dr. Edward Vellion told us in the Call to Prayer article, there's over 70 travesties, wars, injustices, traumas happening all over the world right now. So in this radio show, what happened was we started talking and building energy about 10 minutes before we went online. And that energy just kept escalating as the ideas were put forward. It was an experience for both of us, synchronistically, and hopefully listeners as well were drawn into that energy of surrendering to spirit from an unconscious intention to do so. Right? Because when we have a conscious intention, although it brings about new experience and helps to demonstrate our desire, it is still kind of embraced in our filter, our perceptions, our knowledge. But when it's unconscious and the intention is set by the nature of spirit revealing itself by means of us in that moment of surrender, when we are an open channel, oh my goodness. Wow. It just frees the expression and unites souls. And that's what happened. We were in this bubble of some kind, discussing the principle of wholeness and oneness, and not picking sides of anything, but embracing the allness of the working of the divine in and through life, all creation, at all times, whether we judged it to be so, saw it as so, or not. Now, you may be have noticed that I got two different earrings on today. So I did that purposely because I wanted to be a little asymmetrical because I try so hard, right, to stay on the line. And I love aesthetics and I love order, but I also love chaos because I know what's about to happen. What's about to happen is a reconfiguring of the pieces, the fragments that we think are broken, into a higher order of life. So, okay, which one do you like best? I digress. You have a preference, probably. And that's my point. When we have a preference, we pick one over the other. And when we pick one over the other, it does help us to focus or see ourselves, whatever we need to see in that moment. Right? But embracing both without opinion helps us to be ourselves. So picking one over the other helps us to see ourselves, to know ourselves. But embracing both without opinion of preference or judgment helps us to be ourselves. Because we are the whole of it, the all of it. We are the God. Nothing lives outside that God, that spirit that is us. Our actual nature is wholeness. And when we surrender into that, we have a greater, more enriching experience of the truth of our nature. And we can see as God sees. Right? So being playful in a world of serious circumstance, alongside a corresponding belief, here it comes, in needing to keep safe, to protect ourselves from life doing it to us, can strip us of even remembering or imagining what being playful looks like. And as we understand more about the spiritual principles governing the natural nature of all creation, we can use these principles to guide us into new ways of seeing and being, to demonstrate that life does it through us, as us. Now, not picking sides leaves us vulnerable because we don't have anything to grasp onto, to grab onto and identify ourselves by. But this is exactly the moment when true transformation happens, when we let go, when we are most driven to hold on. I had a discussion with one of our community members recently, and we were talking about that crisis that happens between the spiritual and material world, right? When we see them as separate, even when we hold on to the philosophy that the spiritual and material world is one world, that energy and matter is one thing, that cause and effect are inseparably bound. So where is that crisis? Well, perhaps it's in our attachment to ourself and worldview. If we could but release our attachments to our beliefs and let life find its way to us newly. You know, as we heard in the reading, the words of Maya Angelou, she said, if you are always trying to be normal, you will never know how amazing you can be. So have you ever thought what happens after new thought? You know, we study these teachings. Perhaps it's no thought. Enter that playful state of being. In the quantum field of present moment awareness, without attachment to outcome, we open, we lose our mind to imagination, and everything becomes possible. This state of being disengages us from our patterns of belief, becoming our new access point into the spiritual realm of creative intelligence. As we lighten our thought load, we lighten up our world. Here's what others have discovered and shared about the value of play. Diane Ackerman in Deep Play says this: in rare moments of deep play, we can lay aside our sense of self, shed time's continuum, ignore pain, and sit quietly in the absolute present, watching the world's ordinary miracles. No mind or heart hobbles. No analyzing or explaining. No questing for logic. No promises. No goals. No relationships. No worry. One is completely open to whatever drama may unfold. Michelle Cousu and Stuart Cubley in Life, Paint, and Passion say this: to play is to listen to the imperative inner voice that wants to take form and be acted out without reason. It is the joyful, spontaneous expression of oneself. The inner force materializes the feeling and perception without planning or effort. That's what play is. Now, all the world's religions acknowledge the importance of a playful spirit. The Jews have a holiday for humor called Purim. In the Islamic tradition, the fool Nasruddin regales people with his silly approaches to things. St. Francis is the Christian tradition called in his order, Jesters of the Lord. Native Americans have rituals to celebrate sacred clowns. They're called the Heyoka, and tricksters who break all the rules. Now, many Zen masters also use humor as good medicine. But Chang said, shut your mouth, close your lips, and say something. And for Hindus, the world is a playground where God is active everywhere. But tapping into our inner boundlessness doesn't mean navel gazing. It leads to concrete acts of kindness and compassion, most of all towards the self, right? And then it unfolds to others. So while we're singing in the rain like Gene Kelly in the movie, we must also remember to pass the umbrella to the stranger, right? Kindness, compassion must be guided by alert intelligence, and it must include consideration, the habit of considering the actual consequence of what we do. I love this one by Ted Lauder. He said, laughter is a holy thing. It is as sacred as music and silence and solemnity, maybe more sacred. Laughter is like prayer, like a bridge over which creatures tiptoe to meet each other. Laughter is like mercy. It heals. When you can laugh at yourself, you are free. Margaret Gunther in Toward Holy Ground shares this. She says, play exists for its own sake. Play is for the moment. It is not hurried, even when the pace is fast and timing seems important. When we play, we also celebrate holy uselessness. Oh my goodness. Did you hear that? Holy uselessness. Like the calf frolicking in the meadow. We need no pretense or excuse. Work is productive. Play, in its disinterestedness and self-forgetting, can be so fruitful. And Lior Ter in Beyond Love and Work shares these words. She says, when we play, we sense no limitations. In fact, when we're playing, we are usually unaware of ourselves. Oh, self-observation goes out the window. We forget all those past lessons of life. We forget our potential foolishness. We forget ourselves. We immerse ourselves in the act of play, moving from, and we become free. Now, when I was surfing this week, trying to keep abreast of what might really be going on in the Ukraine, I came across a beautiful picture of a woven stitched doll. And there were several pictures of it, and it had different dresses on it. Of course, I knew right away it was a Ukrainian doll. And it's called Motankas. They're actually an ancient Ukrainian family talisman. And they are symbols of prosperity, goodness, and hope. The first knotted doll appeared about 5,000 years ago, and it represents the unity of the family and deep connection between multiple generations. Why I noticed it and why I'm bringing it to you in the message of play is because Motankas differ from ordinary dolls by empty faces. So there's no face on the doll. The ancestors believed that giving the doll a face could tie a person's soul into it. Therefore, faces have no facial features. And instead, the Motanka dolls have multicolored threads laid out in a cross shape instead of the face. Now, the cross is a pagan symbol of the sun, where horizontal lines mean the feminine, and vertical lines mean the masculine. So what that is to me is the complete sacred complement, the whole spectrum of life coming together without a specific identity, but an experience of wholeness. So when I was a clown, I painted my face white. I came back to the raw, clear, blank canvas. And then I put the colors on. I had to die to my old identity, my old self, and be born anew. We are being called to be in the void, in the mystery, and find comfort there rather than in the known. You know, no, lightening up is not easy. It's not as easy as our desire would like it to be. It takes practice to shift our self-perceptions and welcome in and let out playful, expansive energy. Our ego is fabulous fodder from which we can grow self-observation, self-amusement, hopefully, and eventually the courage to shine light and appreciation on our authenticity within the chaos. We can create expansiveness right within and from, using our limited and limiting perception as our springboard, because we are urged to quest for greater understanding of our truth, because we are infinite, endless beings. Sometimes we need the ego for awareness, and as something we push through to reveal more of who we are, allowing magic to happen and transformation to occur. So consider altering your ego by beginning to understand the fine line between letting go our story of who we believe we are and embracing it. You know, in India, when someone dies, the stretcher that the person is on being carried to the pyre is held up, of course, by many individuals who are constantly changing their position along the way, from the right shoulder to the left shoulder and back again. But the full weight, and this is the point here, but the full weight is always present, right? The fullness of God is always present, even though we shift in and out of the light, of seeing the truth of who we are and the truth of the world and God's presence everywhere, inside and outside. When we shift the weight, it feels like a relief, right? Right? But it's temporary, for the weight is still there. The weight of this body is the belief we carry in the unreal self, the ego self. Also, not just the presence of God Almighty. It's both. It's our divinity, our magnificence that sometimes we shy away from. And it's also our humanity, the weight of that that we often don't want to see or embrace. It's both. But this same ego knows that our souls are meant to evolve in expression and therefore experience on this spiritual quest of our coming home to oneness with the true nature of our being. You know, if the soul had its way, I am absolutely sure we would be evoking the presence of our childlike spirit through curiosity, wonder, and spontaneity all the time. Matthew Fox, in Wrestling with the Prophets, says, "There is a mystic in every one of us yearning to play again in the universe." Our childlike spirit gives us permission to accept ourselves, to play, to loosen up and lighten up, and experience and bridge our humanity and our divinity as one thing. Our childlike spirit doesn't circumvent any of our feelings or our emotional expression, but does hold the power and magical sense that comes with radical acceptance of all that is. And our childlike spirit helps us to authentically navigate living in the world, which with much less effort and stress and way more fun. Yeah. So welcoming in our natural playful spirit is an integral part of our pursuit of happiness. There's a great story about Buddha, but I won't go into it because I'm running out of time. So I guess I'd like to close then by just saying that anything that comes from the outside or that we depend on outside of us is not joy, not true joy. Joy arises out of our very core and is absolutely independent of circumstance. It is not escape from oneself. It is really encountering oneself. Joy arises when we come home. So don't shadow your energy. Don't cap it. Shine in all your glory to inspire and uplift others. This commitment to shine turns the door handle, calling us and those we touch and the collective consciousness itself into a bigger conversation, one in which we stop seeking and trying to live a spiritual life and open to allow spirit to live as us. This is how we walk softly and carry a big stick. So get your game face on, folks. And so it is.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.